Breakfast with Friends.
Turn it up.
And on that note, on Wednesday, we kicked, we had such an incredible story of hope from Pranisha Abdul. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's the turn of the husband. You know, we are gentlemen, so that's why the ladies go first. And now Shahid is here to share his story of hope. Shahid, thank you so much for coming through to the studio this morning. And for those who missed out on Wednesday's story of hope, once you've listened to Shahid's, you definitely want to go and check it out on our Facebook page and share it with your friends and family. And then also we're doing a live video with Shahid's story of hope. So this is awesome stuff.
Amen.
Shahid, the floor is yours.
Good morning, Jonathan, and good morning, listeners. It's such a humbling feeling to be in your studio. My wife and I wake up every morning with you on the radio, so it's awesome to be here. Thank you.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah, so my story goes back 36 years ago. I was born into a Muslim home, raised in a Muslim family, Islam being our foundation and faith. And for many years, I was asked to go to Islamic school to learn to read and to recite Arabic, because obviously as a Muslim, you need to be able to understand Arabic and be able to recite it quite easily. My parents put me into school at a very young age. I think I was about 6 at the time. And I disliked going to Islamic school. We had a very, very staunch imam or teacher. What he used to do, he used to seldom walk into class and randomly just ask students to come up to the front and recite a verse out of the Quran. And if you didn't know it, he used to cane you in front of the entire class. And what I used to do, Jonathan, every afternoon after school, before I left home to go to mosque, I used to stuff toilet paper into the back of my pants, because that helped with the sting of the cane. And for years, I just disliked going to mosque. And by the time I got to high school, I found ways to truant and not attend madrasa or mosque. During that time, I frequently went up to the local shopping center where the local gang members used to hang around. And I easily befriended them. And that started my journey of drug addiction and alcohol addiction. And for many years, for close to 10 years, I was involved in gangsterism, drug-related activities, alcohol, brushes with the law, just a downward spiral in my life. Now, my parents grew me up with the right models. I just decided that, you know, joining these guys were my little family. They were my little, bunch of friends that I could relate to and they could relate to me. And that started many years of just a very downward spiral in my life. And during that time, partook in lots of various different drugs. It also led to stealing. It led to gang fights. During those years, I lost very two close friends of mine through gang-related activities. And, you know, I knew that it was not the right thing for me to do, but I was caught up. Just like a lot of people that are caught up in gangsterism or drugs or alcohol, you know it's not the right thing for you to do, but you get caught up in it. And for many years, I just struggled with that in my life. And in 1996, I met my wife. At that time, she did not know about the double life that I was living. Whenever I was with her, I always acted as the perfect gentleman. I think what I always knew was that me being involved in the gangs and doing drugs and alcohol was not me. I knew that I was a better person than that. I was just caught up in the wrong lifestyle. And yes, I met my wife in 1996, and we courted for many years, very undercover. I was Muslim, she was Hindu, and it was just totally taboo. Her parents hated the fact that she needed to find anyone else but a suitable Hindu guy for her to marry. And we dated for many years undercover. Eventually, she did find out about my double life. She broke up with me. And I think that the bond and the love that we shared allowed her to forgive me. She saw my heart and not what was on the exterior. And we got back together, and I promised that I would, you know, change my life around and do the right thing. And it lasted for a little while. And then I got back into the drugs again. And it was an ongoing battle. You know, I tried to convince her that I was going to change, and she believed me up to an extent, and I would do it all over again. And it went on for a number of years. Eventually, we made the decision to move out of Pietermaritzburg so that I can move away from the circle of friends and from that community, and we decided to relocate to Johannesburg. And we did. What I did do, though, I carried the habit with me. So when I got up to Johannesburg, the first year was really difficult for me because I couldn't find work. And what happened was I started to befriend people in the neighborhood, and that led to me again finding drug merchants and, you know, places where I could go and buy drugs, and it continued yet again. We stayed in Johannesburg for about 4 years, and during that time, yes, it was a constant battle. I weren't as bad as it was back home, but I still took drugs on a regular basis and worked as well. Eventually, I made the decision of wanting to move to Cape Town. I thought the further I can get away from everything, and there again, Jonathan, it was me running out, trying to run away from a problem. I weren't ready to, you know, make the realization that I was the problem. I just wanted to run away from the communities that I was in, thinking that it will go away. But, you know, by God's grace, we relocated to Cape Town in 2008, and for the last 10 years, I've been clean of drugs. And I thank God for watching over me all these years I've been in Cape Town. There's just something so anointed about Cape Town, you know, that when I touched down in Cape Town, I just knew that this was going to be a better life for me and for my wife. And I've been clean for the last 10 years. In 2010, God blessed my wife and I with our beautiful daughter, Leah. And then in 2011, my faith was tested yet again. I was retrenched from my job, and I sat at home for about 5 months. And during that time, I started to seek the God of Islam for help and for solace. And I used to go into our prayer room on a daily basis and just reach out to God. But I felt absolutely nothing. I felt this cold nothing. It was just an empty space. And I cried out to God and I said, Lord, I mean, why did you give me a child for me to now be in this position? And I felt nothing. But during that time, Jonathan, my wife had already started to seek the Lord in the quiet. And I did not know anything about it. But when I did find out, I was totally upset. And, you know, with much respect, I literally threw the Bible against the wall when I found out about it. Because it's not common for a Muslim man to find a Bible in their home. It's not common at all. And I was very upset. I threw the Bible out against the wall. We fought daily. We argued a lot. I even spoke about divorce on a number of times. But you know, what God was doing in my wife's life was giving her peace and giving her love. And that's what she showed me every single day. I could not understand it. I could not understand how she was traveling to work on the train every day because we couldn't afford to fill petrol in our car. But she used to come home just elated. She used to walk through the door and I saw this completely different person. And you know, in my spirit, I was yearning for that. I wanted what she had. But I didn't know how to do it because I was still a Muslim. I knew if I had decided to even think about Christ or Jesus or Christianity, I would be condemned by my family and by my community. I was scared. And I started to ask her on a regular basis, but how is it that you're so, you know, free? And she told me about Jesus. And the one day I caught myself alone at home, and I found a Hillsong CD lying in our bedroom. And I switched on this Hillsong CD, and Jonathan, I instantly got attracted to the music. I fell in love with this music. It just caught my soul. I can't understand it. It's unbelievable what it did for me. And I continued to listen to it day after day. And eventually, the one day my wife came home and I said, love, you know, the last couple of days I've been listening to Hillsong and I really, really like this music. It's doing something to me. I'm feeling happy all again. And She was overwhelmed. I mean, she just broke down and she cried. And days later, she started bringing all this Christian scripture home and so on and so on. And I started reading it, and it made sense. I started to understand what God was about. It wasn't about religion. It wasn't about these strict rules and about, you know, praying at certain times and doing things at a specific way. It was talking to God. It was having this relationship with God, which is something I did not have as a Muslim. And in 2016, I visited the church for the very first time, and I loved it. The love that was shown to me was overwhelming. And on my 36th birthday, I was baptized on my birthday. It was so overwhelming that the pastor gave me the 8th of June, which is my birthday, as my baptism date. And I was baptized and I became a new creature in Christ. And my journey now is serving the Lord, is going out and preaching the gospel to all and everybody out there and letting them know that this relationship with Jesus is the most wonderful thing that you can ever have in your life. And, you know, to the listeners out there that are facing, the problem of addiction, I want you to know that there is no problem that's greater than surrendering it to the cross. I'm an insignificant person, and God has taken this insignificant person and raised me up to be a member of society. And he's got me clean out of drug addiction. And I want to tell the listeners out there that if he could do it for me, he can do it for anyone. And I just want to encourage everyone, no matter how big your problem is, just take it to the cross. Allow Jesus into your life, and he will do amazing works in your life.
Shahid, that is so encouraging and Amen. So amazing how God uses small things like a CD Amen. And your wife's love for Jesus, and also the fact that for those who missed her testimony on Wednesday, please do yourself a favor and go and watch the whole thing. But one of the things she said was just that how she spoke to you about in that time when you wanted to divorce her, and she yes. said, well, my God, yes, that amen. In the Bible speaks about the, you know, amen. About love and amen. Sticking together. So amen. Well done.
Thank
so
you.
Awesome to have a couple amen. Being able to share their story of hope. Shahid, can I ask you to pray specifically into that thing of addiction?
Absolutely.
It might be addiction to pornography. It might be addiction to some form of a substance, drugs, alcohol, cigarettes. It might be addiction to whatever. But trust in God for breakthrough in those people who are struggling or who have family members or loved ones who are struggling in that area.
Absolutely. Father God, we just glorify your holy name this morning. Abba Father, we come to the cross this morning with all our problems, Lord. Father, I specifically want to pray for drug addiction and alcohol addiction and pornography. Father, we just break this right now in Jesus' name. Devil, you have no control over our lives. Father, I just want to bring this to you, Lord. We want to surrender every single problem that we are facing in our lives, Lord. Specifically, drug addiction. Father, I want to pray for South Africa, Lord. Father, I want to pray for our leaders. Raise up mighty men and women, Lord, of this country to lead this country, Lord. And Father, we humbly come to you this morning with thanks and praise and honor, Lord. And we thank you for this opportunity for us to call you Abba Father. Father, please remove any addiction from our lives, Lord. We just break it off right now. Devil, you have no control over us because we are children of the Most High. And we just claim this right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Sure, Shahid, thank you so much for sharing that. And
CCFM 107.5.